You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number three kicking off here. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, the Fantasy Executive, the Keg, Tony Sakata, myself, all with you here this morning. Now, we let off the show talking about the Boogie Cousins trade. We're going to get back to that later on this hour. But I want to talk about some of the baseball headlines that Scotty just mentioned here in his news update and see if there's any relevance to us. Let's start here with Jonathan
what
Neese.
What are you doing, Scotty?
What?
Why you got your face on the table?
Jonathan Neese.
I'm trying to see something of yours.
Mind your business. What do you think about Jonathan Neese, Greg?
Signs a minor league deal with the Yankees. Looks like he'll get a chance to start, get a chance to relieve, but it sounds like he'll be the second lefty out of the bullpen, Scotty.
Yeah, but you know, I think there's always a guy that, if you're in a mono league, you kind of keep it on the radar, and you know, if there's some injuries, because he does have some starting experience, although, you know, pitching in that ballpark can be very hurtful. So, you know, he's not going to strike out a lot of guys. So, yeah, it's like, it's not really big news here, you know, kind of a swingman type.
There's a report from Terry Francona, Tone, that Corey Kluber may not start opening day.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is there. Kluber's been a model of consistency in Major League Baseball. Francona's been making a lot of statements this week.
Yes.
He declared his bullpen, Corey Kluber. So I don't know. Maybe
it's helpful.
I have no. I'm hoping he's not. I'm hoping he's not bored, and he's just going to throw him out there. It makes no sense unless it's one of these situations. I didn't look at their schedule that they start out on the road and he just wants him for the home game.
Yeah. Could be.
Managers do that.
They do. Yeah, that's true. Corey, would that be in the back of your mind here?
What's
of
that?
Like, oh, Corey Kluber might not start opening day. Maybe he's not healthy. I don't know. Blah, blah, blah.
If it's the buying opportunity. You feel what I'm saying?
It's a buying opportunity.
If I see him start to drop down the board because owners are scared, it's a buying opportunity.
You're not scared.
I'll jump right on it. Greg is like, I can't believe I was in Cabo with my girlfriend last week, and now I'm in
Cabo,
a damn studio with this dude barking.
If you think Cabo is Boca.
Oh, Boca. My bad. I didn't know. I don't know.
Wrong four letters.
Corey. Yeah, no, wrong. Wrong rich people destination.
Oh, rich people destination. I don't know about that. Hey, over the weekend, we kind of joked when I was still here about the WBC rosters with Canada that Eric Gagne was the closer for Team Canada. And now he wants to come back, Corey.
Huh? He's got some I guess he's got the juices flowing again, so he's trying to get back out there.
Did you use that phrase purposely?
No.
The juice flowing again?
No, I didn't.
Vince Young wants
too good
to come back, too, so...
Who?
Vince Young?
He does. He's going to the CFL, I think.
Yeah, he is.
The juice. Eric Gagne is a juicer.
Oh, no, I wasn't being facetious with that
okay
one.
Okay.
Unintended.
That's what we expect out of him.
But yeah, he's got the juices flowing, you know what I'm saying? He's thinking, I can get out there. He might want to make him a couple dollars, too, you know what I'm saying?
No, who doesn't want to make himself a couple dollars?
Yeah, exactly.
That'll make you hell, huh?
There you go.
Other news from the weekend you might have missed. Your boy Charlie Tilson won't run for 10 days because he hurt his foot. Scotty.
Yeah, that's not good.
No.
Especially
not for a speed guy.
Speed guy when you're looking at something with the wheel.
Charlie.
That's
Charlie
never good.
Tilson. You know Charlie, the R&B singer Charlie Wilson. Charlie Tilson.
Hopefully this will bump Andrew Engel up the depth chart.
Oh, sure. Is that any
you
relation?
You literally only root for this guy because his name's Engel.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
Tilson. Why I used to root for Engel Beltre.
Did Tilson?
Who the hell's Engel Beltran?
Yeah, he used to be a utility guy for the Rangers, yeah, and I actually had a conversation with him in a clubhouse.
And you're like, oh my God, we have the same last name.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, was Tilson drafted in labor?
Your man, Charlie Tilson, he was in the 23rd round.
Mm, okay.
Drafted by Dr. Roto.
Oh, he must suck. Now let me stop. Charlie Tilson.
Dr. Roto's a couple-time winner in the Series XM Host League.
Yeah, Dr. Roto can play. You can play.
So yeah, Charles Tilson, a guy that speed guy, somebody that hurt of his foot. That's not a good thing.
No, a speed guy with a banged up foot is a situation that to monitor when you're looking for these fourth, fifth outfielder types or even some reserve depth speed guy. But you can't be a speed guy if you got a bum wheel.
So the next guys from over the weekend that I wanted to chat about kind of falls into this grouping. And it's the, hi, I was an all-star, but do I still have any fantasy value? And that leads us to Jared Weaver. Jared Weaver signed a one-year contract with the San Diego Padres over the weekend. And now that Weaver's on the Padres, it looked like with the Angels, he had nothing left. Of course, he says he's got years left. He's revitalized. He's going to San Diego. And he went from being signed here on February 19th to a good chance that he is their opening day starter. Scott Angle, Jared Weaver, is there any fantasy value?
Well, maybe he'll improve. Maybe his ERA will go under 5. But, you know, not anybody I'm interested in. Yeah, he's a bad pitcher moving to a good ballpark.
So you're out on Jared Weaver. Corey, you're very frustrated.
Yeah, because my computer's acting crazy, and it's hard, difficult to do the program if your computer's acting funny. So, but as far as Weaver goes, are you serious? Like, I'm not that deep into my San Diego Padre research. He could be the opening day starter.
Yeah, they don't have anybody good. They have no starters that are any good. Yeah.
His ERA was 5.06. His FIP was 5.62.
He's terrible. Yeah. He's terrible.
I wish I'd have known they had the openings in their pitching staff.
Yeah, you can make a milk.
I would have applied.
Tone, Jared Weaver, any value for you?
Yeah, put it in context, he actually has the lowest velocity of any pitcher in all of Major League Baseball at 83 miles an hour. Ooh. Last year. That is not a good sign. This is a guy that's dropped from 2006 when he first came in the league to 90, down to 83, 7 miles an hour. He's left his game, whatever game he had at one point back when he came up. It's gone.
If he is the opening day starter, you should stack against him DFS.
Yeah, no, Jared Weaver is bad.
It's like a wiffle ball pitcher.
He's bad. A name that we haven't talked about, that former All-Star, a little news over the weekend, he's trying to get healthy, trying to get ready to go, and it's somebody that I'm interested in hearing what you guys have to say about him, is Albert Pujols, right? Former MVP, former All-Star, former everything. El Hombre, coming off a couple of injuries, and when he plays, Pujols is pretty good, right? Like, even last year, he played 152 games for the Angels, put up 31 homers and 119 ribbies. That was last year. Mm. The year before, 157 games, put up 40 homers. The year before that, 28 and 105 in 159 games. So we always hear these question marks about the injuries for Albert Pujols, but Tony, he finds a way to play almost every year. Now he's coming back from injuries again. Where are you on El Hombre?
I have no... I don't want to draft this guy at all, and I keep waiting for him to fall apart, and yet people are getting bargains on draft days because he's playing every year, and he's putting up, like you mentioned, great numbers. The batting average has suffered from what it used to be in the past, but other than that, when you can get a guy as late as you're getting this guy and getting 30 home runs from him and you get 100 RBIs, the guy's a steal on draft day every year, and he'll be again.
Now, Tony nailed it. He's a steal on draft
every year.
I mean, he's the anti, you know, the next big prospect. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing fun. There's nothing exciting about owning Albert Pujols, but he's a solid, consistent winner. Give you those dirty bombs you're looking for. You get him at a good price. A smart decision on draft day, Scott.
Look, he's 37 years old, but, you know, Beltran was still putting up pretty good numbers, you know, like around age 39 or 40. The fly ball rate was down a little bit, but his hard hit rate was right on track with his career norm. So,
an old man strength.
Yeah, you know, and even a few years ago, I remember with St. Louis, like, he injured his forearm, and he came back quicker than anybody expected.
Extremely quickly.
And just was ripping it up when he came back. You know, this guy doesn't stay out for too long.
Pujols, rather, is coming back from a right foot surgery.
Yeah.
And I'm going
to
be honest with you.
He told reporters, he said, I don't need to be out there playing exhibition games. It's really about just taking grounders and taking some rips in the cage, and I'll be ready.
But the thing is, I don't really care about Pujols' right foot. Like, he's not running anywhere, right? Like, I'm drafting Pujols. He's going to be able to step in the box with his bad right foot.
See,
and
then
really
again, you don't know. Because, see, Right, so see, I'm in the batter's box right now, right?
Yeah. Why you want to stand up? You want to...
Well, if I stand up, I
can narrate this for you if you want to stand up.
Stand up, right? Right, see,
he's
standing up.
He's holding his microphone.
So I'm holding the microphone like it's the bat, right?
Yep.
So you get ready to swing, you have to put pressure on this back right foot. You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
So if his right foot is hurting, he may not be able to get the full torque. You feel what I mean?
Yeah, that's...
See how I'm doing this?
Yeah. I see.
And I'm going back like this.
Right.
And I'm starting to swing. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
That's my right foot right here.
That's a good point. When we get Dr. A back on the show, we could ask about that.
No, I can do it.
You know, it's a good point by Corey because, you know, how bad is the foot? Where is the injury in the foot? I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but like... You know, how much would it affect the mechanics of hitting? You know, what is it something you can play through? The way he's talking about it, at least, and
bat.
I don't know how much stock you put in that. It's not that type of injury where it is where Corey was talking about.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm not a doctor like Dr. Ray is, but I would be thinking that, you know, you got to adjust your weight. He's a heavier, older gentleman, sure. You know what I'm saying? So maybe that's where the injury comes from. Putting pressure on that back foot. You feel what
Maybe
I'm saying?
He's an old man, dude. Like, that's where the injury comes from.
Oh, yeah. I had plantar before.
Yeah, I know you have.
No joke.
You got that? I have gout?
Remember when you had the gout? My goodness.
I take a pill every day.
You took it out and showed us, too.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah. His foot, Scott.
Albert Pujols.
Either one of them was gruesome.
Albert Pujols is going 137th average pick in fantasy baseball drafts here, so it's in the 13th round. Is that reasonable, Tony?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely reasonable. I think it's, like you said, I think it's going to be a bargain on draft day.
I think so, too.
But I say that, and I still won't pick him.
Really? I'm going to put him on my list.
Yeah.
Would you rather have Albert Pujols, but like, would you rather have a guy, let me see here, a guy like Albert Pujols, so I'll name other guys, and went in the same round of labor, he was the first pick of the 12th round in labor. Would you rather have Albert Pujols, or would you rather have, let's see here, perfect, the guy I wanted to say, Eric Timms.
Ooh, Albert Pujols.
Exactly.
Yeah, me too.
Same. Timms went around earlier.
You know, that Angels batting order, another thing is, that might be the worst batting. An order that has Mike Trout and Albert Pujols, I don't understand how it could be so bad. But it's bad.
Lawrence, let me ask you about another guy in that order.
He just named the lineup, pretty much.
Would you rather have Albert Pujols or Cole Calhoun?
I would go with Albert Pujols.
I'm still going to go with Pujols on
closer, that. Though, because, but I still go Pujols.
I agree with you guys. Again, around earlier in labor. Albert Pujols. Or Brandon Belt, Corey?
Give me Pujols. Give me the proven power. You know what I'm saying? Not the, oh, he could. You know what I mean? Brandon Belt is I'm not going to keep playing the upside game with Brandon Belt.
I think I'm finished playing the upside game with Brandon Belt. He is what he is, but I'll take Pujols one more time.
Tell him.
I agree. One more time. This is the order. CJ Cron will probably play first base. The Pujols will start out DH.
Yep.
Danny Espinosa, who's a 208 hitter. Andrelton Simmons, who's a 230 hitter with no power. Yanel Escobar at third base, no power there. Ben Revere's trying to revive his career in the outfield. Cole Calhoun and Mike Trout. This is rough.
That's bad. That's bad.
The Angels play the Padres in Interleague because that might be a game that no one watches on the package.
Albert Pujols. He was a 10th round pick, was Brandon Belt. So let me continue. Would you rather have Albert Pujols or Jake Lamb, Scott?
Give me Pujols over Matt.
All right. Tony?
Now, this would get to a point where I might need a third baseman, and then I would take Lamb. But let's just say I have a first baseman,
sure.
I have a third baseman, and it's for corner infield.
Yes.
I'll go Albert Pujols.
Okay. Corey?
This is a good one right here. I think, this is a tougher call right here. I think this one has to do with roster construction.
Okay.
I think I might go with Lamb, though.
All right. So Lamb was a 9th round pick in labor. Remember, Pujols was a 12th. So let me continue going back because two of you guys said it. All right. Would you rather have Albert Pujols or would you rather have Adrian Gonzalez? Tony?
I'll go Adrian Gonzalez. I think a lot of people have written him off already. It's a better batting order. Both ballparks are not great hitters' ballparks. I'll go Adrian Gonzalez.
Okay. Scotty?
Yeah, I'm still in on Gonzalez. It's close for me.
Okay.
You might get a little bit more pop with with Pujols, but I think across the board, I'd rather have Gonzalez.
I feel safer with Gonzalez.
It's fair.
Yeah, like I do the too. Whole Albert Pujols injury, yet, so I'll give up a couple home runs for a little safety.
Okay. Yeah. And you know, Corey Parsons.
I'm going with Agon on okay. this one right here. This foot thing right here might be more than meets the
yeah.
eye. Yeah, this foot thing might yeah. really be a thing.
What are you reading
Albert,
here?
With Albert Pujols. He's not going to be ready. Well, obviously he's not going to play in the spring at all. He wasn't even able to run last week, Albert Pujols. So he's been running on a treadmill in an effort to reduce the impact on his lower body. So he's been swinging with no soreness afterwards. But this thing right here is a situation to monitor with Albert Pujols. I wouldn't be – I mean, I'm not a doctor, but opening day might not be a thing for him. This is a situation that we're going to have to keep our eyes on throughout the course of the offseason – I mean, spring training. Is he – he's not in the WBC, is he? No,
No. So, all right. So I mean, we got pretty deep here. Albert Pujols, you guys are in on him for the most part. It'll be interesting to see if anybody at this table pulls the trigger on draft day for Pujols.
I'm watching this foot before I pull the trigger on draft day.
That's why you draft, you know. So you're doing your drafts now.
Hey,
you
Greg.
Yes, sir.
They just made me think of something. Last week we had a poll.
Yep.
Whether you were a pedicure guy, the Albert Pujols foot thing.
it reminded you. So what? All right. So before I reveal the answer, what did you guys say?
I said yeah. I've done it like two or three times in my okay. life, and it's fascinating. But I feel odd with all the the women there,
right?
And everything.
Okay.
But I could see you being in a relaxed atmosphere there, so I figured you were.
You said yes, Scott. What did you say?
I said yes.
You said yes. Okay.
Of course.
Corey?
I said yes too, Greg.
Okay. So the Sorry. Answer is I've gotten one pedicure in my life.
In your whole life?
My whole
really?
Life. I've gotten one.
That surprises me.
And it was last week.
He's a pedicure guy
what
now.
The timing
it was, right before, you know what? It was actually Super Bowl Sunday. Before I went to my dad's to watch the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I got a pedicure for the first time.
How was it?
Honestly, it was freaking glorious.
I've had them before.
Yeah. It was freaking glorious. Like, I kind of want... I'm not going to spend money to go do that, because, like, money's precious, but that was freaking amazing. You just put your feet, they rub it, you put it in hot water, they cut... I mean, what is not to like?
If you go to a good place, they bring you a drink, too.
Really?
I was reading online where they have, like, places for men only. Huh. Where you can, for dudes...
We have one out here.
Go get manis and petties. For just dudes, and you know what I'm saying? They got the game on, they'll pour you a drink, you know what I mean?
This sounds great. Like, why are manicure pedicures just for females? Like, I think it's pretty enjoyable.
No, I think more and more guys actually do it. I bet you'd be surprised the amount of professional athletes that
are. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Our pools probably get one this morning.
Probably. You know what? If we had if I just had, like, the money to do I go all the time. I have the money to do this. Yeah. But I'm not spending.
How much did it cost you?
Well, my girlfriend paid for it, so it cost me nothing.
Right,
because like she's like, hey, come with me to get a pedicure. I'll pay. I'm like, all right.
That's how most first guys. That's how they first go because you're not manly enough just to go on your own.
No, God, no.
Like, man, this is pretty good.
And if she's really paying, good. What do I care? But like that's the thing. Like she's gotta put the money out for that. I'm not gonna do that. That's kind of that seems fair, right?
Yeah.
If your wife paid for you to get a manicure, would you go?
Yeah, I think so.
I guess, but you're a little different because it's all the same money. Because obviously you're married. So it's all the same thing. Corey,
she's tried to get me to go before.
Really?
Yeah.
But has she succeeded?
Not yet, but I'm getting there.
You're getting there. Yeah. All right. Corey, if a girl that you're seeing asks you, hey, come with me and get a manicure. I'm paying. I'm covering the bill. You good?
Yeah. I go with myself.
Oh, you do go yourself?
Yeah. Like, I'll go once. Maybe twice a year, something like that.
Oh, all right. So is it fair to say you get mani pedis?
I'm a pedicure.
Not a mani guy.
The manicure, I used to do that too.
Right.
But I haven't done that in a while. You know, so yeah, I'll go because I put my feet in the water, son. It feels good.
It feels really good.
Yeah, you do walking and stuff. I remember I had planted real bad last year. You know what I mean? So I went down there and I put my feet in the water.
That's right, you're a planter,
yeah. Yeah, so and then they with the planter, they have like a thing that they do where they'll stretch the heel out.
Right.
You know, so yeah, I'll do it, you know what I'm saying, for comfort purposes. Matter of fact, when I went in the joint, my homeboy that I, you know, hang out with at nighttime.
Yeah.
His mom was in there, and his mom was like, I was telling Jason that he need to come and get his done too. And I was like, yeah, you know. Yeah, no doubt.
But he said he's in the joint. I thought he was talking about being in prison.
I don't want to get Matty Petty in prison.
Yeah, no, no, no. Yeah. That's probably not a good
different
idea.
Different kind of pedicure.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
Scott, so you should go. You should go, Scott. You should go get a clean up. You know what I'm saying?
Scott. Yeah. Yeah, Scott, if your wife would pay for you to get a waxing, would you do that?
Yeah, what the heck, right?
Hey, what the heck?
I did it once, Scott. It's I'll tell you what. You find out how tough you are then.
Yeah. I remember that scene from 40-Year-Old Virgin. Yeah. Yeah. We got the waxing.
Nah, that's crazy.
That's crazy, man.
You get a Brazilian.
All right, then. Get the Seahawks logo in a waxing.
All right, hold on. Speaking of waxing, I was going to go to break, but this is more important.
Yes.
Speaking of waxing, Chris Pavona has let me know... he gets his back waxed.
Wow!
I did that before too.
Bavona, not only do you get your back waxed, you love it.
I do. I hate back hair. I hate having back hair. Yeah. I don't have much, but I hate
back
it.
Hair, yeah.
So why don't? But like, you can shave it. I'm assuming get someone to shave it.
No, I don't want to shave it because then it comes in even more dense.
So you get your, does it hurt?
Of course it hurts. Not like it's not insane because like I don't have a lot of back hair. Like I'm not like Sasquatch, but. You know, if I haven't done it in a while, it hurts.
What do you think, what hurts more, getting a waxing or a tattoo?
It's got to be that.
Tony, you've had both.
Oh, yeah, man. It was definitely the waxing. definitely.
Yeah.
The first. See, I only did it a couple times, right. And I think like if you do it, maybe you get used to it and everything. But I was like, oh, boy. The girl was like, should I stop? Are you okay? Right?
And oh, I'm my
like,
God. That sounds
horrible. I'll just keep going.
Yeah. At some point.
I said, you know, it hurts, but sometimes pain is pleasurable. And it looked like I was crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy. Scott, though, they had to hospitalize Scott. He get that. Oh, speaking of which. Rest in peace to George Animal Steel.
Yeah, rest in peace.
Yeah.
Passed away over the weekend.
Ivan Koloff too, right?
Yes, sir.
Yep. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Both guys passed away over the weekend. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about more of these guys that, you know, they used to be all-stars, but do they still have fantasy relevance? We'll continue breaking it down next on the Roto Experts in the Morning. So often, we always go with the young guys. I talk about it a lot. Like, oh, the veterans versus the young guys. Blah, 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 blah. But sometimes the all-stars from yesteryear really don't have the fantasy relevance that we have used to seeing. We are come accustomed to with certain guys, which leads me to our next couple of players here, which both are members of the Los Angeles Dodgers. And these are a little different than Albert Pujols and Jared Weaver, right? Jared Weaver and Albert Pujols, those guys have been around the block. But the next two players, both former All-Stars.
Took Weaver much longer to get around the block.
What do you mean by that?
With his pitch speed.
Well, but whatever. Pujols had foot surgery, man. He can't go very fast around the block. You don't think Jared Weaver would run around faster than Albert Pujols?
I think Pujols could probably run around the block faster than a Weaver fastball would get around there.
I don't agree.
Yeah.
It's still 87. It's still like 85 miles an hour.
Okay.
Yasiel Puig and Jock Peterson. Two younger players that have both been all-stars, but have both been, I don't want to say, like, left behind by this Dodgers youth movement here, like Corey Seager's of the world, who are the Urias's of the world, but gone if not forgotten is the way I'm going to phrase it. Yasiel Puig, Jock Peterson. So Corey Parson, I'll start with you, my friend. Do either of these two guys, former all-stars, have major fantasy relevance in 2017?
Well, obviously, let's start with Peterson. I think Peterson obviously does because of, from what we heard yesterday, sounds like they're going to go with him. It won't be a platoon situation or where he's getting sat for left-handers.
Let me stop you there. Tony, you have brought this to my attention more than anybody. Is that a good thing? If he can't hit lefties and he's going to play every day against lefties, is that a good thing that he's going to play every day against them now?
Now, the only thing that you could say is that, it gives you some counting numbers, and he's a younger player. Maybe he can turn it around. I mean, we're still talking about a kid 24 years age. So with him, I think it is a good thing that he gets to stay in.
Okay.
Because give him an opportunity to break out of it instead of being one of these guys there. But if it was an older player, I would say no, it's not a good thing.
Okay. So, Corey, continue. I apologize.
So, yes, no, it's no problem. With him being playing every day, yeah, you may get a lower than you want batting average. But still, like Tony said, the counting numbers are going to beat it. This is a guy that's going to hit 25 to 30 home runs, and you can't leave that on the draft board. And the thing about it is you don't have to pay a price for it. Most people are offering him. So Peterson has OF5, OF4, OF5. I'm cool with that.
Scotty.
Yeah, in Rusty's Fantasy recently, we actually had the hitting coach of the Dodgers turn a ward on there, and he pretty much said the same things that you guys are saying, that Peterson's still a young guy. You know, they're working on his swing path and his mechanics, you know, and sometimes, you know, he tended to press. But, you know, he's still a young kid, and they feel like, you know, that he's still working through a lot of things, you know, in terms of pitch recognition and discipline. So he's still got time to improve. Where Puig, you look up and, like, you know, I think he's 27 now. It's past the point where we're waiting for the potential to blossom.
Jock Peterson, I believe, is 24 years old here at Sony and going to get the opportunity to play against lefties a little bit more. It sounds like they're going to just leave him in center field, let him do his thing. Now, I don't know where he's going to bat in the order. I have to think toward the bottom. But Jock Peterson has the ability to run in the minors. Can we see him run a little bit more in 2017?
It seems like not. And the one thing is that he seems like, based on everything I read, because this is a baffling thing, is that this guy stole 30 bases 2014, 31 2013. He can't read the pitches at the major league level. The one thing at the minor league level is you see these guys amass incredible stolen bases because they have pitchers have no move over to first base.
Right.
He's had a tough time comprehending that part of the game, and he's been lost.
Yeah, and his speed came at the PCL, too, where everything's inflated.
That's a good point, too. Jock Peterson, if you take a look here at the NFBC, Jock Peterson right now, as I get it up, is the 46th outfielder off the board, number 203. 203rd pick. I mean, that's deep.
Yeah, he's going down. He's one of those players that has a bad... people see him on the board, and they're like, I can get somebody else.
So I owned him his rookie year, and he was really good that first half, right? Like, really, really good. And then he just went into this monster tailspin in the second half. So last year, that's how I felt, Corey. When I saw his name pop up the board, I'm like, whoa, I remember that second half. I know how terrible it was. I'm passing on it.
They were saying in Los Angeles that Mark McGwire screwed him up. That McGwire was, you know, telling him to, like, you know, pit for the fences and basically ruin his swing path, and that, you know, the hitting coaches since have been trying to get him to readjust and be more of a doubles guy and let his power come naturally.
McGwire should have been like, take one of these.
He's actually going in draft. Yeah, like, I look at the players right around him.
Yep.
And I think you could go either way on draft. Like, there's no one that sticks out. Oh, this guy's away, or he's going too late. Like, I think he's going, this is where he's going to stay. This is basically when you get a guy. The problem is you can't get two guys like Jock Peterson on your roster because it's just going to kill your batting average. So if he's the guy, you're waiting late. You got to check your team batting average. If you're right around 270 at that point, you could add him to your team. You got 20 home runs.
Yep.
But if you're in like the 255 range, you can't add another guy like that to your team. You're
right.
In trouble.
Jock Peterson, back-to-back years of 25 home runs. The strikeouts now did drop. He played 14 less games. The strikeouts did drop. The strikeout percentage dropped a little bit. Still pretty high at 27%, but it dropped a little bit here. The power is real. The RBIs aren't very good because of where he bats in the order. You need him to bat higher, which I don't think he's going to do, which is the problem. You'd love to see the speed go up. The person that I see him next to both in the NFBC and in this labor draft, the person I see most compared to when you're comparing two outfielders, is Nomar Mazara. So, guys, who would you rather have? Jock Peterson or Nomar Mazara?
Not even close for me. I'd have Mazara. You know, this guy, you know, I could see the numbers certainly going up this year. He is very mature for a young hitter. You know, good tools, etc. Plays in a good ballpark. I'm a fan of Nomar Mazara. I'm very upset I had no room to keep him in my keeper league.
All right, so you're going easily Mazara despite the ADP. Corey.
Yeah, he can hit the 25 bombs and give you, and his batting average can be 30 to 40 points higher.
So you're also going Mazara.
Well, I'm going to take Mazara, but I don't think it's as crazy as you guys make it out to be. You get no stolen bases with Nomar Mazara. So you're getting 10 with Jock Peterson. So you're getting a little bit of batting average, but you lose on stolen bases, and Jock Peterson's going to hit more home runs.
Yeah, I don't think it's, I don't. I think,
but how many more home runs is Jock Peterson going to hit?
Was it 25 back-to-back years?
Yeah.
Obviously, it's a 20 last year from Rosario. I think it's close. I think Peterson has more power, probably. But, of course, much better ball, much better ballpark for Mazzara.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm saying I would pick Mazzara, too, but I think, like, to me, it's not, like, an easy pick. Like, I think you can make the case that these guys are going to come pretty close to where they are and that one guy is not going to give you anything out of a category and the other guy is going to give you double digits.
Yeah, I think it's close.
If you want average, I think it's definitely going to be Mazzara.
Obviously.
If you want a little more speed, it's Peterson. I just feel, you know, maybe I'm looking at a more pure baseball perspective. I feel like Mazzara is definitely the better hitter.
What about Yasmani?
Yasmani Tomas?
Yeah.
I'm going to go Tomas, I would say.
Me too.
I'm going to go Tomas.
I love Mazzara, though. It was just like a prospect.
What about the other guy here, former All-Star, and Yasiel Puig? I know, Scotty, you mentioned a little bit about him here that, listen, the guy's 27 years old now. It's not like he's 24 anymore. Now, we're seeing Mazzara and Peterson go like the 13th round in labor. Puig goes all the way in the 19th round in labor. I believe the right field job is once again his in L.A. to at least start the year. Is there any reason, Tony, to be hopeful that, hey, maybe Yasiel Puig will be good again?
Yeah, it is. The reason is that he's got the talent. Like, you know he has the talent. He has the skill. He's already demonstrated that at the major league level for a couple seasons. So that's the thing you're holding on to. But what we don't know is we got a guy that lived, we don't know what it's like to come over from another country and come over to the United States and never have any money in your pocket and have all the money and be able to do whatever you want. And then it's baseball in Portland. Like, that's the stuff we don't know. He has all the skills in the world to do this. I just don't know if he cares.
It's the truth. He's got to pull it off together, off the field, in the locker room. He needs maturity. You know what I'm saying? It's just, now it's not a category. Maturity is not a category.
It is not.
You know what I'm saying? But still, the ability to play, to be on the field with a clear head, with the support of your teammates is very important to the batting average, the home runs, and just being an overall good player. I think that this is a situation I'd rather not deal with Yasiel Puig. And I'm normally the first guy to take a crack, you know what I'm saying, on a player like this.
Yep.
Especially on the immense talent. But it just seemed he's in the nightclub. He's in Miami. He's popping bottles. I don't think baseball is a priority for him.
Yeah, it's like, you know, these are the kind of things you can't quantify with numbers, like the mental part of the game. And he hasn't shown up in that regard. But then again, we talk about, you know, when guys drop to a point where they become a value and the goalposts have moved.
Sure.
For like Jason Hayward, if you're getting Yasiel Puig in the 20th round, just because of the talent, it's worth a crack.
I mean,
It's crazy. In the NFBC, he's being drafted with Max Kepler, Hunter Renfro, Leonis Martin, and yet this guy hit 20 home runs and 20 and 10 stolen bases and a 300 batting average 2 years in a row.
Yep. Yeah,
you know, you get into narratives, and the narrative on him is so negative that even when people get that late, they don't want to draft him because they get too into the narratives.
He's competing, right? One of the guys he'd be competing with for that gig, even though more than likely he's going to be his, is going to be Trace Thompson.
That's right.
Clay's brother.
Clay's little brother.
Yeah, Clay's
he's
little
hurt,
brother.
Though. Yeah,
he's hurt. He's banged up.
Yeah,
Scott Van Slyke probably too. Right, he's always there.
Yeah,
he's always the fourth guy. I think they always like him in that role.
Hey, Max Kepler had that amazing week, Tony. Don't forget about that.
I know he probably made a lot of people in DFS some money.
A lot of money that week. Yeah. You're probably right. All right, we'll take a break here. We'll come back. We got some bunch more All Stars that may not have any more value to come. Stick around. Roto Experts in the Morning continues after this. Talking all stars of yesteryear. Do they have value in 2017? One guy we heard in the news that, like, listen, he wants to keep playing. Last year of a massive contract is up here in 2017, but he wants to keep it going. He's a guy that usually picks the end of drafts, but has value at some point in the season, and that is Jason Wirth, the Washington Nationals outfielder that, well, he was the first big signing Washington had. They overpaid him at the time, 7 years, 126. Turned out to be a good deal for them, right? He played all 7 years. He was fine, and he put the team on the map a little bit. Jason Wirth, Tony, does he have fantasy value in 2017?
Yeah, now this is a guy 37 and is that deal with back injury, so there's definitely a risk associated with it. But last year he had 21 home runs, right? And he used to steal bases. He doesn't go there. I would, if I drafted him, I would pencil him in at 15 home runs, and I would pencil him in about 10 stolen bases. I think he could get if he's healthy, but a 240 batting average. I like the guy a lot, actually, for where he's going. And you can get him as the fifth outfielder. That's not going to hurt you. And if he bats number two in that batting order, which I don't think he will, but there's always a chance. I think they're going to go Adam Eaton and Trey Turner in the first two spots. So he'll hit in the middle of the batting order there. He'll get some REI opportunities there. If he's up in the beginning of the order, he'd get some runs scored. I think he's a good player. I think a fifth outfielder, absolutely.
In labor, Jason Worth goes all the way in 27th round. I mean, that's pretty good value. Yeah.
I mean, he's the young man. He's Jock Peterson. You know what I'm saying? Except he's Jock Peterson without that power, but the batting average would be around the same. It's no real upside to his game, but he's a player that is rosterable, especially when you where you're paying for him at. Now, I thought I saw last week where that they said that the Turner kid was not going to be batting higher up in the order.
Yeah, so it was actually Adam Eaton that wasn't going to be batting higher in the order.
Yeah,
Trey
yeah.
Turner was going to bat. This is Dusty Baker said that Trey Turner would bat leadoff. Jason Worth could bat second. And unlike Jock Peterson, who you compared him to, he's sitting at the top of the lineup ahead of Bryce Harper here, ahead of Daniel Murphy, ahead of these guys in the Nats order. You put Jason Worth second between Trey Turner and Bryce Harper. That's pretty good, Scotty.
Yeah, it's like the guy's turned 38 during the season, but and he's hitting the ball a little bit more on the ground and less in the air. But, you know, you still hope you get 250 and about 17, 18 home runs and a good amount of RBIs in that lineup. You know, certainly won't hurt you too much as a fifth outfielder, depending on how you construct the rest of your roster and, you know, with the batting average.
Now, but here's the thing, though. But if Adam Eaton, does this take away from Adam Eaton's fantasy value if he's batting six?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what the hell is going on with Dusty Baker?
Oh, it's Dusty Baker.
That's a little different.
It's kind of
a little
what he
different.
Does.
He likes to be outside the box, so.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, though, Worth had 84 runs scored, and people always forget about runs scored being
in the category. Yep.
And that's three more than you need to be an acceptable player. And if that's your fifth outfielder, absolutely. I mean, 27th round's a bench player.
Totally.
Yeah, no doubt.
I think Jason Worth is a fifth outfielder. He's fine. There's nothing wrong with that at all. So it's a good situation, like good spot in the order.
Yeah, I like him in the two hole. I can't believe that's true. Like, you can't bring in Adam Eaton and put him in the middle of the order.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes no sense.
If I'm
a GM, I'm going to rip up Dusty Baker's contract and start over again.
Yeah, that's intriguing. When I saw that, I was like, well, that just messes everything up. You
sure
know what
does.
I'm saying?
Yeah. What about his teammate, guys, Ryan Zimmerman, the first baseman, of course, of the Nationals, former All-Star himself. Now, he has struggled with injuries throughout his career. Had the yips over at third base. Now is their first baseman. He's hitting in the middle of the order behind Harper, behind Murphy. Zimmerman last year played 115 games, battled the injuries like he normally does. But hit 15 home runs. The average, though, a career low of .218. The OBP, a career low of .272. Any chance he rebounds? Any interest in Ryan Zimmerman?
You know, when you talk about getting to those later rounds, you know, the guy's still got good pop. I think the injuries affected the average, but, you know, they did sign Adam Lean, too, so.
Yeah, makes him undraftable.
Yeah, that's something like, you know, Zimmerman's still got talent, but I don't think they trust him to stay healthy, so you're looking at a platoon situation there.
I'm about to look up his projections to get a good laugh out of that.
So I drafted Ryan Zimmerman in the NFBC as my backup first baseman, and then the Lynn trade happened. Lynn's going to hit against all righties, so there's more righties. So Ryan Zimmerman's undraftable in my
mind. I agree. I completely agree with you. With the Lynn trade, I don't want Ryan Zimmerman anymore. There's no upside here.
Yeah, before I would have took a shot on him before this
sure.
stuff happened, and I did. I drafted him.
Yeah,
and
exactly. Then, you did.
Yeah, and now it's basically I was like, damn. I even took Clint Robinson the backup, too, there in first base. But now this is a bad situation. Lynn's going to get the more playing time.
.261 is the projected batting average with 18 home runs. Yeah, with 18 home runs and the exclusive edge.
fantasy baseball packages. Available now, by the way. Yeah. RotoExperts.com. Use free radio when you check out. One last former All-Star for you today. I'd love to know his fantasy value. We'll get more tomorrow. And that's Jordan Zimmermann. You know, see what he did there? He went from Worth to a National. You know. So Jordan Zimmermann, pitcher for the Detroit Tigers. He battled some injury issues himself last year. Doesn't really strike anybody out. But Jordan Zimmermann, Scotty, what is the value of him?
Yeah, he's somebody I just don't want. It's, you know, the guy that never struck out a lot of people in the National League, but got it done. You know, and there were health issues, et cetera, but... Yeah, this is going to be a tough 4 years in Detroit. You know, the guy doesn't strike out a lot of people. I feel like he's declined, and I don't want a part of him.
So no interest in Jordan Zimmermann, whose K per nine ratio, excuse me, was a pitiful 5.64 last year, yeah. Corey.
Yeah, well, yeah, he was banged up. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, but he's 5.64. I mean, that's even low for him, and he's a guy that never struck anybody out.
Yeah, so he was banged up, and I really don't see a situation where it's going to get better. He's already had... he's already received two neck injections in the offseason, so it's a lot going on with Jordan Zimmermann. The student's only 30 years old. He's starting to break down.
Yeah, he is. I have no interest in Jordan Zimmermann at all.
I was 30 years old. I still, you know what I'm saying? I still
so going strong.
I still was very strong. I'm still strong now, you know what I mean? But I was like...
Your career's winding down, though.
Greg is putting me on the damn IR.
I think it's the thing with Donald the foot Trump. That he displayed before.
Yeah, Donald Trump needs help with the economy. He needs to go out and get Jordan Zimmermann's agent. For this guy to get $110 million for 5 years is absolutely amazing. Like, that's one of the greatest heists in the history of baseball. Because everybody knew that he was overrated in Washington, and he couldn't strike people out, but somehow was winning it. And now it's gone. I mean, the strikeouts. This is a perfect example, people. Even if you play in American League only, you don't draft this guy under any circumstances. There are middle relievers that will be more effective for you in the long run. It won't hurt you, and you go and take one of them instead of him.
Listen to this from 2011. 161 innings, 195 innings, 213 innings, 199 innings, 201 innings. It's taking a toll.
Jordan Zimmermann. I'm about to tweet it out because the quote from Tony was that good. Even in the LA's, you don't draft Jordan Zimmermann under any circumstances. We'll do more All-Stars tomorrow. See their value. Also tomorrow, we will we'll try to get to some of these guys that, you know, could be future All-Stars, former top prospects. So a whole lot to do tomorrow. When we come back, we'll break down more of the Boogie Cousins trade because I read some stuff this morning. And I found super interesting about how he may have lost $30 million by being traded to the New Orleans Pelicans. I'll explain and we'll wrap up the show. Coming up next. Old School Fantasy comes your way next here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The Fantasy Executive, the King, will stick around, and they'll be joined by George Kurtz to hang out and talk a little fantasy baseball with you. So, good show coming up at 10 a.m. Eastern Time right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. So, I've been digging into this Boogie Cousins trade a little bit more because I'm just bewildered by it. And from everything I read, the Kings, obviously, were desperate to get rid of DeMarcus Cousins. And you wonder why. It's because Tony said it before, right? If he stayed, he would have signed the most lucrative contract in basketball history, which now belongs to Mike Conley. It would have signed the max extension is 5 years, $209 million. I said 216 before. It's 5 years, $209 million. They would have signed this summer. That would have been on top of the one more year left he has on his contract. He's a free agent in 2018, not 2017. The largest contract, as I said, in NBA history. Now, Cousins, according to this report by Brian Windhorst over at ESPN, says he didn't want to be traded because that $200 million extension was only possible by the team that drafted him, which is the Kings. Under the new rule, which is that designated player extension, he cannot get the same deal with the Pelicans or any other team. And if he signs a max extension with the Pelicans this summer, as he would have done with the Kings, it'll be for 5 years, $180. So that contract, or that trade rather, from the Kings to the Pelicans may have cost Boogie Cousins $26 million.
Yeah, I think this could be an assault case. If these stories are true, right, that Vlade Divac showed up at his house, they were talking, and then he told him that he wasn't going to trade him, then traded him hours later.
Yep.
I can't imagine how DeMarcus Cousins took that.
Not only did he trade him, he cost him $26 million. He's not going to take that very nicely.
Yeah, it said, I saw a report where it said the Pelicans are confident they can resign him. One thing I don't understand, though, the first round pick is lottery protected. Can you guys explain that to me?
I don't think it's lottery protected. I think it's top three protected.
What does that mean?
Which means if the Pelicans somehow wind up with a top three pick, like let's say they don't make the playoffs and they wind up in the lottery and they get the a top three pick in the draft, they will keep their pick.
Right. And then when would the Pelicans get the pick?
I assume next. The Pelicans get the pick in the top three.
Yeah.
That's it. So if their pick winds up the top three, they keep their pick, and I guess the Kings will just get there next year.
Yeah, wow.
I would assume. So there you go.
And that's the NBA, a lot of times,
those
picks are always lottery protected.
Except with the Nets.
Yeah, I don't know what they did. The Nets actually violated a rule when they made those trades with the Celtics. You were not allowed to trade back-to-back first-round picks.
That's right.
And they did, and the NBA had to step in and spread out the picks to every other year.
Well, not only did they step in, but basically they changed it. So instead of, quote-unquote, flopping picks, trading picks away, they wound up just giving Boston the ability to swap on the odd years, right? So they would have their pick in 2015, 2017, 2019, or something like that. And then in 2016 and 2018, they have the ability to swap if they wanted.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it was kind of crazy, the whole situation, that the two teams didn't know the rules.
It's crazy. Or Danny Ainge is trying to take advantage of poor Billy King, which he did repeatedly.
Yeah, I was reading too that the Lakers had a chance to acquire him too.
Yeah, the Lakers could have, basically the Lakers would have included Brandon Ingram in the deal. They would have been able to get DeMarcus Cousins, but it sounds like people just did not want to deal, give Boogie $200 million, basically, and give him free reign of the team. He is too much of an issue in the locker room, it sounds like, and on the court.
What is it like?
17 technical fouls this year, thus far, for Boogie Cousins, and one suspension.
The most technical fouls and ejections in the NBA since 2011.
And we still have 2 months left.
Yeah.
Who was the other player? Who was the player in 2011? Oh, well, look at this. Look what TMZ has.
I'm listening.
Darrell Revis tape.
Yeah, of course they do. I saw that, and they said it's not the tape that Revis's representatives are denying it, because it just shows two guys laid out with somebody in the background saying, "I knocked these two MFers out," and it doesn't show Revis.
We'll see what comes of that. Back to the Kings here for a second. Obviously, Tony, the Kings wanted to rebuild. They wanted to just start from scratch. They get rid of Cousins. They get an extra first-round pick here. And now you're going to be building around Willie Cauley-Stein. You'll be building around Buddy Hield and these two first-rounders in what's supposed to be a loaded draft. If you didn't think they obviously, in 7 years of DeMarcus Cousins, they haven't won anything. They've won nothing. Is it like we've obviously killed them all morning? Everybody's killed them all morning. But should we? I mean, they won nothing with Cousins. Now they're going to be way under the cap. They have no money tied into anybody. They're going to be young and up and coming. Is this as bad of a move as we're making it out to be?
Yes.
Okay.
And the reasons are three or fourfold. First of all, you got free agency. They have all the money in the world, but who's going to go there?
Right.
Everybody's joining teams when you have one, two, three stars on the team, and that's the way to key to success in today's NBA. So they're not going to go there. They can't offer a free agent the most money their own team can. So they got all those negatives against them. Where the hell are you going to get a guy with the caliber of DeMarcus Cousins?
Yeah, unless you get lucky in the draft.
That's exactly what it is. And they're gonna have two opportunities here this year in what is a quote unquote loaded draft class to maybe do that.
They haven't won 40 games since 2006, which was the last time they made the playoffs.
Right. So and they made the playoffs in a decade with or without DeMarcus Cousins.
Do you think
it doesn't work?
You think Cal comes to coach?
Well, that's what we said, right? Like, how quick are those rumors gonna start? John Calipari coaching the New Orleans Pelicans. Like, I'll tell you what. Pelicans don't make the playoffs this year. They're a couple games back now, the 8th spot, right? If they don't make the playoffs, Gentry will be gone, and all the rumors will swirl about Calipari. But does Tom Benson want to pay that? I mean, Tom Benson's an old man that's fighting with his his current wife and his kids. Like, there's a lot of questions out there in New Orleans.
I was surprised they made this move.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Because I'll tell you what, as I said with Gentry, if they don't make the playoffs, Dell Demps won't be there, the general manager. Alvin Gentry won't be there. There'll be a totally new regime, and it may start and end with John Calipari as the GM and coach of New Orleans. It would not shock me at all.
He's just a big, he's a college guy, I think, though. I think Cal's a college guy.
Cal's a money guy. Cal will go. If they pay him if they pay Coach Cal enough money, if they pay him $10 million a year.
Slick Willie would be in New Orleans.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you what. I mean, having those two big dudes is going to make a lot of guys great coaches.
Those two dudes, you know every college player. You go those two dudes, then you go draft De'Aaron Fox, your point guard, right? Mm-hmm. Go make him your point guard in New Orleans. I'll tell you what, man. Live in New Orleans? Pretty good. Pretty good. Coming up next, Old School Fantasy, Corey Parsons, Scott Angle, and George Kurtz. We will be back tomorrow at 7 a.m. Eastern Time for another edition. So, for the executive, for the king, and for Tony Sincotta, I'm Greg Sussman. It's awesome to be back. Can't wait to do it again tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. Happy Presidents Day, everybody.